Welcome to the Fear and Doubt Detox Audio Summit. I'm Simona McNeil, a freedom from fear and visibility coach who helps women outsmart fear, doubt, and shame so they can go from dreamer to doer, one small action at a time. I'll be your host over the next 4 days, and I'm so excited to share these 20 plus interviews with you. Throughout these interviews, you'll be introduced to some amazing women of God. These are real women sharing their very real stories and experiences with fear, doubt, and shame, and how they overcame them. Together, we want to help you detox your thoughts, debunk the lies, and transform your life. Freedom is yours for the taking. While this event was created by Christian women for Christian women, this is a judgment-free zone where everyone is welcome. Think of these sessions as less of a finger-wagging soliloquy and more of a conversation between friends that we're inviting you to join in on. I'm so excited to hear about the growth, ahas, and transformation that come from this week's summit. Listen in. Welcome back to the Fear and Doubt Detox Audio Summit. I'm joined today by my sister in Christ, Dr. Allison Scher. Allison is an esteemed expert in her field. She focuses on both personal and professional development, and she's the creator of Thrive Life Coaching. With over 15 years of leadership experience and a doctorate in educational leadership, Dr. Harris Welsher is dedicated to empowering Black and Brown mothers to thrive in womanhood, motherhood, and their careers. She's guided by the core values of community, compassion, growth, meaning, and empowerment. Allison, I'm so excited to talk to you today.
I'm excited to talk to you as well.
I want to start things off by talking about your talk title. We're talking about navigating the intersection, conquering self-doubt in womanhood, motherhood, and career. How did you come up with that title?
Yeah, it really all stemmed, Simona, from my own personal experience. I became a mother for the first time 2 months before the pandemic. I birthed my first son in January 2020. And going into that season as a mother, one, I was just overcome with joy, but also, quite honestly, nervous and fearful of, am I going to do everything right? And then before you know it, 2 months later, a pandemic hit. And all of the fears popped up again of how I'm going to keep my baby safe. How am I going to do the things I need to do as a mom and maintain my career? And I was definitely overwhelmed in that period of time. And as I reflected and prayed, engaged in some counseling as well, I was seeking support for myself, but really realized there were many women and mothers in particular who were experiencing the same thing, right? Trying to figure out how do they just navigate and hold all these things together with some type of composure, if at all possible, related to just being a woman, being a mother, and being a professional.
Yeah. I love how God takes our experiences and not only uses them for His glory, but uses them to allow us to help others. That's one of the main things that I heard as you were just sharing how you came up with this talk title. As a mom myself, I can definitely relate to the fear piece. Can you talk us through how fear and self-doubt come up in womanhood and in motherhood specifically?
Yeah, absolutely. I think it comes up in so many ways for women. And to be clear, how each individual experiences womanhood, motherhood, and their career is individual to them. And so as I share my own story, just know that it's not a competition. It's not a, gosh, things weren't as bad for me, or it was really bad. It's not about that. It's really honoring each of our individual journeys. And for me in particular, I struggled with how to just balance the woman that I was prior to becoming a mother in terms of priorities. At the time, I was a senior vice president at a consulting firm. And it was a really big job. I was leading a large team, a nationwide organization. And quite honestly, the way that you show up in a season where you are not with children is different than the way you show up in a season with a newborn. And I really personally struggled with that and really had to navigate understanding, God, what do you want me to do in this season? And so it was fearful. And because I'd never experienced it before, I had spent 35 odd years of my life really being independent and navigating and doing as I desired in my career with God's guidance. But now I had this additional identity that I was taking on. And we know that children are gifts from God, and being able to be provided that gift and that responsibility, it changed my whole identity. And I was just really struggling with, how do I prioritize? How do I continue to be this person who I thought I was in my career, continue to take care of myself as a woman and do the things I enjoy, but also show up for this new baby as a mother and walk into that identity? And so it was pretty scary for me. Again, additionally, with the overlay of the 2020 global pandemic, where, the supports that I would normally have just were not as readily available, where I would have had family and friends and even church members to come and sit with me and talk with me. All of those things changed, right? Folks could no longer give that physical presence, but I had to be a lot more proactive, right? And being able to get that support. So it was very fearful for me. And anyone who has mothered and birthed before, just that early period of the newborn phase is so challenging, not only for the baby is learning sleeping and nursing and eating, but also just for the mom to navigate the emotional changes that are happening as well.
Thank you for sharing that. When you were experiencing self-doubt within motherhood as a new mom, did that self-doubt translate into the career space, or was that something that you were able to compartmentalize?
That's such a great question. I think in the beginning, I definitely compartmentalize. I think that is a part of just my personality and what I had done and been successful at doing, at keeping my personal life separate from my work life. And in the beginning, I certainly did try to compartmentalize what I was experiencing as a mother, that doubt. I had significant challenges with my first child nursing. And so that worry around making sure my child was getting all the nutrients he needed and was growing as he should, making sure he was having adequate sleep was all very challenging. And in the beginning, I definitely was trying to keep it compartmentalized. But here's the thing. I remember times I literally was nursing my child as I was running a Zoom meeting, right? With my camera, my laptop tilted just enough so folks could only see my face. And there became a point where I really do feel like I hit kind of rock bottom, where it's like I'm trying to keep these worlds separate, and they're not. And that's really going back to your first question, where this concept of women navigating womanhood, motherhood, and career, because they are all connected. It's all part of those who hold those identities. We're all the same person. And in the beginning, I tried to compartmentalize and realize it was just impossible. It was actually creating a lot more stress and creating just even more just fear, right, in my job by like trying to navigate these things on my own. And the reality is, as soon as I accepted that, okay, I'm having challenges, I'm experiencing doubt, there are some things that I'm fearful of, I actually have weight come off and realized that I was able to have some conversations with other working moms, particularly at my job, and really see how God was telling me, this is walk into your new identity, walk into this season and be open to all that it brings, the joys and the challenges, because I'm going to walk with you. And I think as soon as I acknowledge that and stopped trying to keep parts of my life separate, I start to feel some breakthroughs.
Allison, thank you for that permission slip. I wish I had talked to you like 5 years ago, because I can see myself in the description that you just gave, right? As the woman who has the corporate job and wants to compartmentalize everything, that was me 5 years ago. And then I was wondering why I was going crazy, because it's not a realistic aspiration. there has to be an adoption of a new identity. So I love that you said that, because I think all too often, culture will tell us that we have to keep it separate. And in return, that forces us to create like these, not like a whole identity, but like separate identities, or at least that was my experience. Have you seen that with your clients as well?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, these separate identities or this really facade where I have it all together. And then my quote unquote night job in the evenings as a mother and the weekends, trying to navigate that. And really, when we put it all together, I actually find clients who now understand, okay, it's not about creating this balance or compartmentalization. It's really around integration. Right? How do I integrate who I am at my core, right, as a woman? And folks often ask, why do you include womanhood? What is that about? Womanhood is really just about all that you are individually, right? Which may include your faith, your spirituality, your physical health, your emotional health, mental health. So womanhood is all those things that make you, your hopes, your dreams, your habits, your activities that you love, your hobbies. But it's really considering who are you, right? What are your core values? And what is it that you do professionally, right? What is it that you bring to the world that you can get paid for? And then motherhood. And how do you integrate all of those for a life that feels fulfilling to you in this season? And so when I help clients unpack that, because we have some unrealistic expectations of ourselves sometimes, right? But when we unpack, okay, this is who I am. And guess what? Me being a mother is just as important or even more important than this job that I have. And I want to pause and say that you mentioned society and culture. Society and culture will sometimes lead us to believe that being a mother must be your only and top priority in this season. And some folks will say, nope, you gotta keep that career and motherhood. What I say is for every woman, it is different. For every woman, she has to decide for herself what is meaningful for her and what is God calling her to do in this season. And for some women, it is being called to motherhood and to mother their children 100%, whether that be homeschooling or be stay-at-home moms. And that's the right decision for them. For others, it is actually how do they maintain being a mom? Because that ministry of motherhood is actually helping someone else in their walk, right? While they're working and in their career. And so I really coach women on figuring out in this season that they're in, what makes sense for them.
I absolutely love that. What I love the most is that you didn't say, oh, what I teach my clients is that once you become a mother, you are just a mother. You talk about the integration of every piece of the woman. And I love what you just said about womanhood and looking at who you were like prior to this new role, like this new role that makes you responsible for another human, right? Another identity. But who were you? Like, let's talk about your health. Let's talk about your values, what you believe and things like that. Because sometimes it can be tempting in an attempt to do well in either the other two areas to lose sight of that first one.
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. Yep. And I think God really calls us, there are gifts that we have in all parts of our life. And I think God desires for us to be happy, right? To be joyful. And a lot of that, I think, does come from being able to use our gifts. And when we suppress a part of any parts of our identity, I think that can be very, it can cause grief, quite honestly, right? When we dismiss who we are. And at the same time, we recognize that we might be changing. And so, one of the things that I teach, Thrive, is actually an acronym for transformation, having healthy habits, rest, identity, and identifying core values, visualize victory and enjoy. But that I really help my clients focus on identifying your core values and acknowledging that they may have shifted. People often think your core values are your core values, and maybe certainly some of them remain the same. But the reality of it is you grow and change throughout life and have different experiences and build new relationships and are in different contexts. Your core values may shift, but oftentimes we don't slow down enough to reflect. to figure out who am I right now and who is God calling me to be right now. And so I try to help my clients slow down and reflect on that. And what sometimes happens is some element of loss and grief, right? Because we realize, gosh, who I was prior to motherhood or who I was just 2 years ago is not who I am today. And what does that mean for me? Who am I? How do I figure out who I am? And helping them kind of work through that and come to terms with, let's look forward and see, who would you like to be? What is your ideal? What is God calling you to be? And that really begins to help open up doors.
Yeah, I could definitely see that. How do things like loss and grief impact self-doubt?
Ooh, yeah. Yeah, I think loss and grief are these emotions that are very raw, right? They take you to a place that you never want to go. And I would argue that, again, culturally and society-wise, don't often create space for you to sit in those spaces. And to me, the connection to doubt, one can often feel if they are sitting in a space of loss and grief and haven't really had a chance to process it and sit with it. They can really have these feelings of doubt that feel like, well, I shouldn't be feeling this way. Maybe I should be over it by now. Maybe what I thought I was supposed to do, I shouldn't be doing. Just all of these questions that are coming into play. Because again, in that season of loss and grief, you're trying to make sense of it, right? You're trying to make heads and tails of it all. And so it can be a very challenging time that I think can unfortunately exasperate, this feeling of doubt of how to move forward or how to make sense of what should be happening in your life. Yeah, it's just certainly one of those things. No one prepares you for loss and grief.
Yeah.
It comes, it happens, and what comes, you have that feeling. And again, it's one of those things we just live. I don't want to be a broken record, but we live in a society, in a world that attempts to put time limits and restrictions and standards on things, right? It should be this way. It should take this long. It should look like this. And that's not real life. It's not real life, right? So when one is grieving, that grief can look a lot of different ways and can take a lot of different amounts of time, depending on the individual. And how one is able to navigate through that really depends on a lot of different factors. And so being able to be in tune with oneself and be self-aware, again, in a world that doesn't really allow for that, right? It doesn't really promote you being able to take time. Yeah, to take time.
Yeah, that's a good point. I definitely feel like we live in a world that doesn't respect things like rest and reflection. But in hearing you speak, if we desire to move past self-doubt, those are two of the things we need to get really comfortable with. Would you agree with that?
Oh, I would absolutely agree. I would absolutely agree. It's almost as if I oftentimes say your commitment to something means it's more important to something. And so what I mean by that is if you allow doubt to creep in, right, when you're attempting and you need rest, you need to take a break. And I'll talk more about what rest means because a lot of folks just think that's just taking a nap or sleeping. And that's a part of it, but not all of it. But if you allow doubt to overcome that and say, no, you can't do that, then your commitment to doubt is greater than your commitment to rest, right? And so undoing that, unlearning that commitment to this idea that you deserve rest, right? That you actually deserve time to rest and releasing this idea that if you rest, something bad will happen or something won't happen the way that it should, or you won't be where you need to be or get something done is just really important to really, how do you pair these two ideas together and really examine for yourself, do you trust God enough to rest? And trust that he's going to take care of whatever it is you're concerned about.
That was huge, that your thought life and your actions can be feeding the self-doubt.
Yeah. Yeah. And part of the reason, Simone, I know this to be true because it's me, right? It's me. It's what I have struggled with and it's what I've worked so hard against, right? A definition, right? Doubt is a feeling of uncertainty and a lack of conviction, right? So I am uncertain about something. And I have oftentimes felt so uncertain about something that I'm like, I can't rest because if I rest, I feel like I am not actively working toward figuring out this uncertainty. Mind you, there's probably not a thing I could do to fix the uncertainty, right? But that's going back to my faith and trusting that God is going to handle it all, right? All things are going to work together. And my commitment to rest has to be greater than my commitment to that doubt. My commitment to rest is actually a sign that I am trusting that whatever is uncertain, whatever is unclear, whatever has not been seen or carried through, it is going to be okay. And that me resting is actually not going to hamper whatever process or whatever's on the other side of my rest, that I need to happen. So rest is truly an act of faith.
One of the things that you shared a few minutes ago that I want to circle back to is that this idea that rest is simply resting your body and taking a nap. How do you define rest, and how do you help your clients reframe the way they look at rest?
I really talk about the power of the pause. And when we think about pausing, it's not just pausing physically, which is what we often think about as sleeping or just sitting and resting our body. But that power of the pause and resting is really about mental pauses, sensory pauses, emotional, social, even spiritual pauses. And just how do we get in tune, right, with oneself to really rejuvenate our body? And so, what we talk about in our coaching is really thinking about what is the rest that your body and your mind and your heart and soul need? And then what's the kind of rest that actually rejuvenates you? And I don't think people think a lot about what really rejuvenates them. We're in a whole culture of the soft life and self-care. And so, sure, going to get a massage and going to the spa is great, but that might not really what's going to rejuvenate you and create rest. It might actually be going outside and enjoying nature, which is actually giving you rest, potentially if you're by yourself from that social intensity that you may have endured, or even sensory attention that you've endured. And so rest just comes in a lot of different ways that I think we really shortchange ourselves when we think about just what it is that rest can do for us and the types of rest that we can experience.
That's so good. I never even thought of anything like sensory rest.
In a world of high technology, I tell you, it's in our faces all of the time. But it's something we certainly need. And again, we can talk about the cutesy stuff of no cell phone Sundays, do a, what do they call it? A detox, a technology detox. But really being thoughtful around in the moment when you've had just too much sensory, right? I'll be very transparent. I'm a mom of two boys, 3 and 4 years old. Love my boys to the end, right? And they love to touch. They love hugs and jumping. I call them my little Spider-Man. And sometimes mommy needs sensory rest, right? Sometimes I don't want to be touched. I don't actually want to hear Gracie's Corner in the background. I don't. And so for me, getting out in nature and just going for a walk, set up, I just try to go for 3 walks a day, 15 minutes each, right? That for me gives me that sensory rest that I need in my body to reset throughout the day.
That's so good. What are some practical habits, maybe tools or strategies that we can put in place to be more proactive about conquering self-doubt?
So I think one of the first things is really creating space for self-reflection. And that looks very different for a lot of people. It might just be sitting and meditating, but for some, it might be journaling. And I say, at least for me, I write to know what I think. And so, writing, I would say, is a really practical way to just open up because it's a conversation with yourself. And it's amazing the things you're willing to admit to yourself through a journal, right? That you may not be willing to say out loud to anyone. And so I think that's a first step is awareness. And then I would say the next step of conquering doubt is really thinking about what is for you, right? I think again, doubt comes from perhaps an ideal versus a reality, right? And sometimes we doubt the things that we don't yet have, right? We doubt what's coming for us. But part of that is understanding what God has for you is for you. So why are you doubting or concerned and worrying? It's natural, right? But if again, you trust, if you have a greater commitment to trusting what God has for you, that doubt will slowly ease itself away.
That's so good. I want you to think about this topic because I can imagine that you've shared it before. What is the question or questions that maybe I just don't have enough insight to ask in this moment, but you think would add value to this conversation for the listeners?
I think one thing to consider throughout all of this is doubt can often come at a time, fear and doubt at a time of transformation. And I would call folks to consider, might you be transforming into, or what might be on the other side for you? It makes me think about Romans 12:2. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And that is what took me again immediately to this idea of just being still and reflecting and self-awareness, journaling, meditating, whatever that looks like for you. But I think times of transition, times of transformation, times of metamorphosis are often times of doubt. And so one might argue, if you are experiencing fear and doubt, could you be in the midst of your transformation? And is that not a part of the journey, right? And so the doubt is just evidence of what might be to come. That feeling of doubt might just be evidence of something is about to shift. Something is about to change for you. And that uneasiness, because we like to know, right? We like to know what's coming. But that doubt is actually the evidence, that feeling of, huh, I don't know. I don't know what it is, but something's about to happen on the other side.
That's so good. And I think it just brings things full circle for us. Because at the top of the interview, you talked about the importance of really relying on God and our faith to move past self-doubt. And I feel like that just brought the entire thing full circle because we know that we serve the God of transformation. We serve the God who brings about those metamorphoses within our lives. I want to encourage the listeners, as you feel uncomfortable, as you feel maybe out of sorts, like maybe I'm on the brink of something, instead of internalizing that and allowing self-doubt to breed, getting your word. I want to challenge you to do that. Sometimes, like Allison just mentioned, we want to do the things. We want to actively work towards solving the problem. And I think this is just a great moment for you to remember what Allison just shared about taking the time to rest, right? If you feel like you're experiencing this transformation, if you feel like you're in the midst of change or on the brink of change, just take a moment and tap in.
Yeah, take a moment. Be still.
All right, Allison, any final thoughts?
Yeah, I would just say that being able to live a life that is thriving is possible, right? You don't have to feel like you're just surviving. And if you do feel like you're just surviving, there are ways to come out of that. If you feel like you're just making it day to day, that is very real. We all hit those seasons, and know that you won't be there forever. It is possible to thrive step by step, day by day.
Such a good reminder. Thank you. Allison, I could talk to you all day. There are women out here that have listened to your voice and they want to stay connected with you. How can we do that?
Yeah, absolutely. So several ways you can stay connected with me. I am Dr. Allison Harris Welcher, the creator of Thrive Life Coaching. So you can find me on the internet, www.thrive, THRVIE, lifecoaching.co. So that's going to be a .co. Also, I am on Facebook, Instagram, and LinkedIn under the same name, thrivelifecoaching.co. So please find me there. Please reach out. Again, Dr. Allison Harris Welcher, I am passionate about supporting Black and Brown mothers and empowering them and helping them navigate the complexities of what we face as women, mothers, and professionals. And grateful for this opportunity, Simona.
Yeah, thank God. Tell us a little bit about your free gift.
Yeah. So my free gift is focused on helping you thrive in this last quarter of the year. So October 1 will mark quarter 4 of 2024, just 3 months before we head out and journey over to 2025. And if you're anything like me, you start the year with hopes and dreams and desires, and it's hard sometimes to work toward those goals as life just happens. And so my free gift is really about helping you conquer any of those goals that you have. It's full of reflection questions, activities to just help guide you to making some headway there on those goals that you've set for yourself on a journey to thriving.
Awesome. Do you have anything that you'd like to include inside the marketplace?
Yeah, so I will be launching a 3-session course to help women prepare for 2025. And so folks often like to do vision boards and to start planning for the year and even as much setting goals and such. And so I will be offering a 3-session course that would love folks to sign up for. So be on the lookout for that information.
Awesome. Thank you so much, Allison. All right. And to our listeners, thank you for taking the time to listen to Allison's interview. Definitely make some time to listen to the other interviews available to you throughout the summit.